And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Want an easy way to stay up to date with the latest news and trends in the NBA? Listen to the NBA Daily Ding podcast. Wake up and turn up the NBA Daily Ding to stay informed on all things NBA here at The Athletic and wherever you get your podcasts.
With the playoffs in full swing, you don't want to miss a single episode of the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network every single Monday with myself, Zach Harper, and our cast of characters, Trevon Edwards, Jay King, Dave DeFore, James Edward III, Law Murray. We're breaking down every single big playoff story, and we're doing it with a lot of fun and a lot of trash talk. Make sure you're checking it out. The Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show every single Monday morning, right in your podcast face.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Some of our mantras, we talk about getting better every day. We talk about playing together. When you do those things, you end up on a stage like this. They compete. They're NBA champions. I couldn't be more happy for our players, for our team, for our organization, for our city of Milwaukee, NBA champions. Yeah. It's big time.
This is Nerder, She Wrote with your host, Dave Dufour.
With Mo DeKeel.
Are you ready to be entertained?
And Seth Partnow.
You see all these... What?
You can't make this up, man.
Hello and welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. It's Friday. It's Nerder, She Wrote. I'm back. You guys tried to replace me with Nate Duncan? What do you think this is? I'm Dave DeFour, and I'm joined, as I usually am, by Seth Partnow, Mo DeKeel. What's up, guys?
I thought we successfully replaced you that episode with Nate Duncan.
No, we replaced you with Nate Duncan, and we replaced Dave with you, Mo, which I think was even better. Like, that's a, you know, upgrades in two spots.
Nothing's better than when we're doing something live and I don't realize it and look, they're like, hey, are we going live? And they're like, we're live now. Yeah. And I'm like, great. So yeah, I'm the epitome of professionalism.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys had a good time without me. I actually walked by while you were recording. I had like 30 seconds and I walked past you and saw you guys recording. Nothing was on fire. I figured, okay, this is good. It's like, you know, I don't have kids, but it's how I imagine people feel when they send their kids off to school. And even though you guys are both grown adults who have done multiple other podcasts, still, it's like, you know, podcast is sort of my baby, kind of. It's really
James our baby.
It's our baby. This,
Let's drop the I and the me and bring in the we and the us.
Sure. But still, my baby. And so, but it was interesting. It was a good show. You guys seem like you had a good time.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, you're welcome. So are we going to talk tears now and just really like,
I want to talk rankings.
Reignite that anger.
Are we talking tears as in like tears or tears as in like levels?
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, first, what have you guys been doing? I mean, Seth, you know, we did Sports Business Classroom together in Vegas. Mo got to see you for like, I don't know, about three total minutes in Vegas. Right. How's the summer going? We haven't done a pod in a while.
Going well. Just hanging out. Uh-huh. I just started fostering a dog and that's mm-hmm. going interesting. He really likes to vomit at the end of car rides.
So now at the end of the car ride, how many car rides have you gone on with him? Just the one?
Two.
Okay. And he throws up at the end of both.
And this morning, let me tell you, I didn't know he had that much in him, but clearly he had a lot.
Dogs, and they love to dig down deep. When it's time,
it's the size of the fight in the dog, as they always say.
And he has no fight in him. He's very chill.
Well, not anymore, because it's all over the inside of your car, apparently.
He's just chilling. He lays down, looks at me every now and then, still trying to figure out if he trusts me, which I understand. I mean, most people don't trust me after a few years. And, you know, he's like, who the hell is this guy? But, like, I'm constantly feeding him, so he's happy.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, this is the sort of Chihuahua mix that
you
sent the picture of the other day.
Yeah, not quite sure what he is. I mean, literally, I got him from the rescue, and they're like, yeah, he came to us yesterday as a stray. So we're like, we don't know much about him either. I'm like, oh, great. So I'm going to be exploring.
Basically Stitch from Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah. Might be. This dog is a pyromaniac. Can you take it into your house, please?
I would. I'd be like, let's see what happens. Let's go for adventure.
I mean, it's a dog. It's a dog and it's a small dog. So how bad can it be, right? With a small dog, you can just like, I can pick you up. You can only cause so much trouble.
The ultimate key hasn't barked yet. And I'm like, okay, if you're not a loud dog, I'm good with that.
How's the indoor potty trained?
I'm assuming it is house trained. So like I have theories on how this dog became a stray, but I'm going to wait to further explain it. Further studies have to go in before I will begin to bring out my theories.
All right. Well, post a picture on Twitter. And if anybody wants to adopt a dog that's in the LA area, hit up Mo on Twitter. Cause this is actually like a really good thing. I love this, Mo.
I've done it in the past, and so it's fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, but still, it's good. It's a good time to do it. Seth, what about you? What's happening up in your house?
I don't know. Starting to worry about a book tour. That's, you know.
Wait, a tour?
Whether it's actually an actual tour or it's virtual events or whatever, just, you know, getting people to pre-order the Mid-Range Theory now. I know getting people to buy the book is sort of what the next thing on the horizon. That and, you know, answering charges that I haven't watched basketball, because otherwise there's no way I would have not liked a certain player as much as some other player, because the only way you could
we know.
No, Seth, you've been doing more than that. You've gotten banned from the state of New York. you're no longer allowed to enter their premises.
Was there a bad Julius Randle take that I missed?
Well, that was the one I was actually expecting, but it was apparently the omission of one Rowan Barrett Jr. that seemed to draw the ire.
Is that his full name? I did not know that.
Yeah.
You didn't have him in your tiers at all?
No.
Okay.
Because they're
and the tiers covered the top
125 players.
Okay. Yeah. So he's kind of on the bubble for you.
Yeah. How dare I?
Yeah, sounds about right.
How dare I?
Sounds about right. Yeah.
You know.
I mean, reasonable. Yeah. But clearly, you know, your rubric is flawed here.
Well, you know. Yeah, that's just your opinion, man.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's
none of us watch basketball, guys.
None of us go. No, we're just talking about hanging out at Summer League watching. Well, I guess you could call that not basketball. So
true. Yeah. Desmond Bane at Summer League. That's my watching basketball.
There you go.
Saw about 45 seconds of that. It was pretty cool. Desmond Bane is a point guard.
Ooh, how'd that work out?
In Summer League. I mean, not bad, man. You know, like his shoulders move guys out of the way. It's pretty good, pretty useful tool. I liked how vocal he was. Seemed to be a point of emphasis for them and that team. So not to go straight to Summer League stuff, but we should talk about Summer League. Because it's, I don't know, is it the most important, unimportant event on the NBA calendar, guys?
Well, it depends on what you mean by important. I mean, the stuff that happens on the court, it matters, but in different ways than people probably think. It matters much more kind of, you know, the third, fourth, fifth guys on a Summer League roster are what they're doing is much more impactful to their futures than like the top guys. Like, you know, Cade Cunningham is going to be fine. He's going to get every opportunity imaginable in Detroit. What Saben Lee does in Summer League has much more of an effect on his future. Or what some other guy who's, you know, trying for a G League contract or trying to get a deal in the ACB or something like that, rather than having to play in Turkey next year. Like those are the spots, you know, that are, the more interesting, but no one's really, you know, you have to be really invested to be paying, you know, fine grained attention to those kind of things. And then the other part that's important is just kind of the schmoozing aspect of it. It's the league meetings, you know, it's
right.
It's, you know, people checking in with it, especially now since we haven't done it in 2 years, you know, checking in with other people. A lot of people kind of, on the make, looking for new and better job opportunities.
Do you want a name drop?
No.
Do you want a name drop on some people that you checked in with?
Well, not me.
Checked in with me.
Yeah, well, I did.
A lot.
Yeah.
Too much. Yeah.
I made a point to not check in with y'all. Said hi to y'all. I see you every damn week during the season. I
interrupted your breakfast.
You interrupted my breakfast. By the way, the hug you gave, Dave, like you
pinched
the shit out of like my chest. It hurt for like an hour afterwards. God damn.
Listen, man, I was trying to make sure everybody felt me when I hugged them.
I thought that was like the opposite of like the wrestling thing where you do the limpest handshake possible, right?
No, but
it's to show you know
the love thing. I need
I'm trying to transfer as much love as I could.
But I'm sure very few people will get this reference. But you know, if anybody saw Ford versus Ferrari, it was a llama bite. Man, like he got me like right here, hurt like hell.
Oh, well, you know. Sorry, man. You know, don't know my own strength, I guess. Oh,
but slim down, Dave, to 4'2", by the way. Lean and mean.
Yeah. Try to, you know, it's funny. I actually thought I'd be doing jujitsu by now. The whole point was I was thinking that I might be able to sneak a fight in while my wife is overseas for the next few months. But I am not rolling around on a mat without a mask on. Especially
in Texas.
Not in Texas. Hell no, you're not allowed to leave the house.
So yeah, so I kind of allowed myself to slim down a little bit, thinking, oh yeah, this will be fun. Maybe I'll do a little jujitsu at like 175 pounds. And nope, I mean I'm gonna hang out at 175 pounds, but I'm not gonna be doing jujitsu anytime soon. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
but to get back to actual basketball and that's my fault. I derailed us.
That's okay. We could talk about how good I look if y'all want to do
that. No, I don't want, you know, I don't want to compliment you.
You know, let's,
that's just, the most I want.
Let's keep it within reason here. Come on.
Like we're starting kind of like a new season. That was it, Dave. Mm. but the stuff I like from Summer League in terms of the basketball aspect of it is, I'm more interested a lot in the second year guys. Like that's why you talking about Desmond Bane is important. I thought Emmanuel Quickly looked really good in Summer League and more as a playmaker, which is something that I felt mm-hmm. like he needed to progress and do better at. And I think he averaged somewhere around like 7 or 8 assists a game on that. Like I felt like he did a good job managing that stuff. And I think those are kind of like the most important guys in Summer League than the rookies, because the rookies are just kind of going through this. And as Seth said, like, we know most of those guys are going to get ample opportunities next season. It's along the lines of like, yo, like, did you improve? Did you add stuff from last season? And I think that was stuff that I kind of find really important at Summer League.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know, Quickly is an interesting guy for you in particular to bring up because I know how you feel about Quickly, at least coming into the summer, right? Like you felt like this is a third guard, you know, maybe he tops out as like a sometime starter. Did your Summer League experience change your, I mean, not that it's going to completely change your opinion, but did he open your eyes to some different parts of his game and the playmaking?
Well, like he showed it, like, right? Like he didn't show that in the regular season to this degree. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I know he has this now. bring it over to the regular season now. It's
how often does that stuff translate though, right? Like, so like Bane, they were clearly, there was an emphasis on the playmaking in summer league. Quickly, clearly an emphasis there. Like in y'all's experience, when you guys send a guy there, a second year player, and he's trying out new stuff, how often is that new stuff just like, oh, he can do this now?
I think it's much more often, you know, give them some reps at it and, you know, get it almost as much, get it out of their system as it is something you're expecting to carry over. The biggest thing is for second year guys is, you know, I think Quickly is a good example of it because summer league is going to be very frenetic. And that's the big thing for rookies in the NBA is they tend to be playing too fast. And so you can even, it may or may not show up in kind of like the stats or whatever, but is the game too fast for a guy, or is he playing at the pace he wants to play at? And that was the thing. I think you'd agree with this, Mo, that Quickly was just from a visual standpoint, Quickly was going the speed he wanted to go, and no one was making him go any faster than that.
Yeah. He kind of, sorry.
No. And so that's, you know, the second year guys who show that's what you want to see. And it's the guys who still look frantic as second year players are the ones you kind of start to worry about a little.
Yeah. And I think like there's an important distinction there, I think, between the Quickly and the Bane experiment, right? Like this is something they're going to need from Quickly for the Knicks. For Memphis, that's not really what you're going to want from Bane. And like, this is something you do see a lot in summer league with guys, you know, is, mm-hmm. Hey, go do this, you know? And as Seth said, get reps in this and things like that. It'll be helpful for your game and stuff like that. But it's like, but come regular season, like we're not playing you as our backup guard or this or that, you know, like you're not coming. This isn't going to be your role. And I think that's something that's an important distinction. Cause sometimes we also get tricked by that.
100%. I think with Bane, I think part of it is he's going to be in the starting lineup and they just want him to be a guy who, when he catches the ball, you can trust him to be the next playmaker, run a side pick and roll and that kind of stuff. I mean, I thought what Memphis did was pretty smart. Sending those guys out there for those stud games, putting them, you know, making them stretch their game a little bit, stretch the responsibilities. And so that way, when they roll into training camp and they're in a role that's not that, well, hey, next man up, just, hey, if Ja goes down, hey, now we know Desmond Bane can handle some of this playmaking that we're going to need the slack to pick up. I think that's a smart way to use it, especially for your young guys. I mean, you know, you're not going to send older guys to do it.
Yeah, it's a great development tool, like, mm-hmm. Right? It's what we talk about. You know, it's, again, listen, Summer League's not an NBA game, not even close in that sense, but it's better than practice. It's better than going against the video guy in your workout drills, right? It's along those lines of, you know, it's you worked on this in the off season, bring it to the game here a little bit and things like that. But it's just funny because like there are guys I will watch in summer league, and I've gone back to watch summer league because, you know, I have a problem and an addiction. But like, you know, I'll see this and I'll go like, cool, this is great. Like, we're not going to see him do this in the regular season. That's not how teams are going to want him to play. He didn't get drafted with this team, you know, to play this way. It's just, hey, summer league, ragtag roster to a degree. Also a lot of agendas within guys on the team. That's why big men don't necessarily always get a lot of great opportunities in summer league, because the guards are trying to make teams even here or in Europe and things like that. Like, so there's a lot of interesting things that go into it with summer league. And I think that's, you know, it's an important development tool for those guys, but I just think everybody's got to be a little bit careful with, okay, he's going to be my favorite is, okay, he's going to take the leap next year. I'm like, I didn't see anything like that. Like, and it's not because I thought Jalen Green's scores like crazy.
No idea what he's doing out there though.
Right. Exactly. Right. And everybody's like, he's going to be such a, I'm like, yeah, let's see when it's an NBA defense.
It's no, that was the one game that I probably focused most intently on was Detroit. It's weird to call it the Pistons and the Rockets when it's like, yeah, you know, 10% of the Pistons and 8% of the Rockets or whatever, but no, just the difference between,
how Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green play to get to like Cade was sort of always almost deliberate, under control, make the next pass, actually looking like making NBA decisions. Whereas Jalen Green was, I am getting a bucket now. You know, it didn't always end in a shot, but his first thought every time he caught the ball was put it on the floor, do something. And just that, like, and that's an aesthetic judgment as much as anything on my part to say, like, I prefer the way Kate did that, but I don't know, you know, is Jalen Green might be good enough that he can play that way. But that's stuff like that is just is more interesting coming out of summer league than determinative of something of how good someone's going to be once the games start for real.
Who were your favorite guys at summer league? Did you guys have any?
I am.
Mo hates everybody.
No. actually, it's the exact opposite. I was actually. Yeah. Impressed with the rookie class for the most part. Like, you know, I said, hey man, like nobody blew me away. I didn't walk out of there going like, holy crap. Right. It didn't feel like that type of summer league. But I walked away going like, yo, these kids are good. Like there are areas they got to work on. There are things that they got to get better at and stuff like that. But I said like, yo, these kids are good. Like I'm excited to watch a lot of these guys. I'm going to watch a ton of Orlando because I want to watch Suggs. Like there's an element of like, yo, I was impressed with these kids as a whole, you know? And I thought like, okay, this was a pretty good rookie class. Nobody blew me away or anything like that. But like, again, I was like, okay, like I can rock with this. Like, this is some good stuff there.
Yeah, no, I think like, you know, getting back to Cade, I think he was terrible spacing for him at Oklahoma State, and with kind of better spacing on the floor, you know, in this environment, he showed, I think, a lot more shake than we saw from him at Oklahoma State. He still needs to get stronger. He's not as big as maybe we thought he was, but like all of the feel and intelligence and you talked earlier about how vocal Desmond Bain was on the floor. Is that was something that I picked up on from Cade is, you know, you don't often see rookie ball handlers telling everyone where to go on defense. And that's, you know, if you like Cade Cunningham, that he showed you all the reasons why. And the other player who, you know, there's some questions about because he's a little older and he maybe got drafted somewhat based on the tournament was Davion Mitchell might be pretty good.
I mean, he's going to defend if nothing else.
He swallowed. I mean, I think everyone's talked about it by now, but
James like, Booknight, James,
but yeah. Like I was getting texts from people watching on TV. It's like, hey, is James Booknight in the building? Cause I all I see is David Mitchell right now.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, same thing. I had people asking me if I got to see that game in particular because of Davion Mitchell's defense. How often does that happen?
Yeah, no.
Never. Alperen Şengün.
Hold on.
Did you guys get a chance to watch him?
I just want to go to the Mitchell thing real quick.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The one thing I think, like, he's the perfect guy of, like, great. Now let's see what it looks like in Sacramento. Not because of him, but because now you're going to play a three-guard lineup. Like, that's
right.
You know what I mean? Like, it was – that's the thing that's interesting. I like Davion Mitchell as a basketball player. I did not like him landing in Sacramento because I don't understand how they're going to do these things. But again, you know, but that's the stuff you see in summer league, right? You see him do these things. And you're like, damn, this guy's really good. Let's see how it translates when the team starts putting their stuff together and Walton puts that rotation together. Sorry, Dave. I didn't mean to.
No, you're fine. I mean, I'm excited. Like, I want to see what does it look like when he's trying to guard Steph Curry.
Yeah. I'll disagree with, like, you know, new season. So first one of these, I'll disagree with him a little bit. Like, I don't
20 minutes
like,
in. All right.
You know, great, no, great, the only great. Thing, like I only care about that for centers. I think in today's NBA, like, okay, Sacramento has four pretty good guards. If Mitchell's good, they've got, you know, between Fox and Halliburton who can swing to the three, probably a little bit some, and Buddy Hield and Mitchell, you can find ways to get on the floor for all those guys. Where it gets to be a problem is, and this might be a problem for, say, Cleveland, Evan Mobley's a long way from being a four, I think, and they just signed Jared Allen to a contract that in a vacuum I didn't hate, but like the combination of that and using the, you know, the number three pick on another guy who profiles us. That's it, because it's hard, going to be hard to play them together. So that's the one area where like the fit starts to be meaningful to me. Like looking at these guys coming out of summer league is okay. This guy is a big, can he play the four? No. Oh boy. How's that going to work?
But see, to my thing about it, Seth, with the Kings, it's I don't know how they're going to defend. You know, when you put one of those Fox or Halliburton guarding a wing, good luck. And Mitchell's not big enough to really to fully guard and a Paul George in the NBA, right? Like, I think that's going to be.
I think they're going to try it.
They're going to try it, but like the results, I'm not too excited about. I'm with you on Cleveland.
Is their defense going to be worse though?
Is it possible?
Yeah.
You know what? This day and age, I'm afraid of saying something's impossible. So yeah, it's probably possible. But I'm with you on the Cleveland thing, you know, having watched Mobley now going like, cause when they made the pick, I thought that can work. And now I'm like, oh, I'm with you there.
So he's not a wing yet.
He's not a four yet.
Right.
The scarier part wasn't, we kind of always were worried about the lateral quickness for being a four. The face up game wasn't quite where it needs to, or close to where it needs to be, I think, for that to be a consistent thing. You want to talk about Şengün. So that's different. That's
good. Well, I mean, you know, you guys got a chance to watch him probably more than I did. But he had some defensive plays that I thought they were underrated, right? Very, very good positionally, these plays. Amazing verticality from this guy on the move. Is he going to be better than people think? I mean, the Rockets are going to stink, but is he going to be potentially the better rookie just because he's a little more seasoned?
Possibly. I heard something from a friend of mine who is a film guy with a team who did a scout on them and basically is like, oh, okay, no, we got this guy. Because it's like he, I think, especially early in summer league, he surprised some people because he is mobile and good ball handler, but he becomes pretty predictable. Apparently, it was what I got. It's like, okay, he's going to jab, step, dribble, spin back. And okay, you know that's coming and you kind of got him figured out. But at the summer league level where everyone's going 7,000 miles an hour, if you have your pet move you can get to, you can do it over and over again.
Right.
It maybe looks better than it might end up being. So I think because he had that kind of go-to in his bag, it helped him like shine in summer league. And that's not saying he's going to be bad or something like that.
Sure. He's probably going to be bad. He's a rookie.
Yeah, right. Man. Exactly.
Right.
He's a rookie big man who has, you know, his okay length, and he's actually probably like, he's got a longer neck. So he like his listed height is, you know, he's got the neck height rather than actual height.
Functionally shorter.
Yeah.
So you call him a giraffe. Got it.
No,
the giraffe. We're going to nickname him the giraffe. Good job, Seth.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back.
We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Mo, you watched him, right? I mean, was I way off? I mean, again, I didn't see a lot of him, but I thought his feet on defense were pretty good.
No, that's what I was about to touch on, was I actually was more impressed with him defensively. You know, I don't know how much of his like two or three blocks a game are real, you know, in an NBA season. But like, I thought he did a good job switching out on guards a few times, you know, creating havoc and forcing a turnover and things like that. Like, I felt like his defensive side of things was way better than I thought it was going to be. You know, I kind of came in thinking like, okay, I think I read somewhere like he had slow feet or whatever or something. I was a little bit caught off guard. I said, no, it looks a little faster. So, you know, it's again, grain of salt with everything, but like, defensively, I was pretty impressed with him. I'm with Seth in the sense of like his offensive repertoire kind of becomes predictable in that, like, if you're looking at him going like he's going to be our number one or our number two guy, like you got a lot of work to do on that end of stuff. But like his defensive game was further along than I expected it to be. And I was delightfully surprised.
So, like there is a player type that, the key that it seems like he profiles, who's been a decent player in the NBA, and kind of that sort of the Brandon Bass, Carl Landry sort of area, where the like some physical toughness, good decent skill, maybe undersized for a five, not quite quick enough to be a full time four against first units in today's game, but has. Like there's a role for someone like that on the offensive end. The combination of sort of size and quickness makes me think it's going to be difficult for him to be like a frontline player anytime soon. But the skill level is there that maybe the jump shot develops and he can become kind of a high level stretch four type. But yeah, but he certainly like again, this isn't. The fact that I'm being this nitpicky on him is almost, you know, a credit to how decent he looked right. If I thought he just sucked, it just sucks rather than I'm sort of, okay, no, this is a guy who's going to get NBA looks and why might it not work?
If he turns into Dario Saric, like,
that's pretty good.
Pretty good. You know what I mean? Like that's a contributor, you know? And I think that's kind of the way they should look at it. And if he's better, great.
Great. <know? laughs> Especially with that draft position, right? Yeah. Like they picked him up pretty late. So anybody else stand out to you guys as we're sort of wrapping this up? Anyone else like really jump out?
I thought the Knicks rookies in general looked Quentin Grimes looked you know, that's one thing you really get from summer league that you might not get just from, especially from being in the gym for summer league, is you do get a better sense of size, right. Like real functional, not just height, but also kind of bulk.
You see him in 3D versus 2D.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Quentin Grimes is good wing size. And so that's it. And, you know, willing shooter looked, I thought that was a good look for him. JT Thor is a freaking tank. Like whether it translates into being a good basketball player, I don't know. But the combination of being a tank and being named Thor, like, let's go.
Thor got you in. That was what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
Bones Highland.
That's my guy.
Denver. I'm in.
Yeah. I see you.
And the thing is, and I'm, after this is going to post after I've done it, but I'm going to have a Twitch thing on him. And, you know, he's actually doing some pretty impressive stuff defensively in terms of where to be help wise and stuff like that, where you can just tell like he's been coached, you know, and then just everything he does on the other end. Like I'm very impressed with him.
Do yourself a favor and watch some Bones Highland highlight mixes. That's like, they'll be the best of anybody in this draft. Just the most it's entertaining.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's an interesting dude for that team in particular, because I think he's going to get a real opportunity and he's going to be playing with, I don't know, one of the five best offensive players in the world. Bones Highland is, that dude's going to shoot the shit out of the ball. It's going to be amazing. And then if Murray's back for the playoffs, I don't know what the timeline is. Probably can't expect much out of him. I mean, Bones Highland might be getting big time run in the playoffs for the Nuggets next year.
Well, I mean, look who they were playing last year in the playoffs. I know. Yeah, like he would have played last year.
What did we say numerous times? If only they had PJ Dozier.
Right. I mean, it was literally like that's how struggled they were.
Did we say that?
Yeah, well, I did. Oh, yeah. I mean, they just didn't have anybody, man. They just didn't have any guards. I mean, I felt awful for them. But by the way, I like PJ Dozier, but it's just what an amazing thing to say for that team. I'm excited for Bones. Because look, man, the league is better when there's a good player from VCU out there doing stuff. Okay.
Oh, you're a big Eric Maynor fan?
I mean, yeah, absolutely, man. You know, my guys, you know, Larry Sanders. Getting run out of the league, unfortunately.
Yeah, so I think
we need more VCU love around here.
That's anyway. I think people in my neck of the woods would disagree with that assessment, Dave.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
Yeah. They're still hungover from all the champagne spraying around the Deer District. So I think they'll figure it out.
Off season, they're going to start the season hungover.
Well, Giannis is just going to show up on wrestling every week, I think.
Oh man,
he got a pretty big pop.
You think? And you think Giannis is going to get a pop in Milwaukee?
I mean, that was pretty good. Yeah, that was pretty good. Now, CM Punk got a big pop, but I think the Giannis pop was bigger.
The question is whether we can get him and his brother to do an angle for Amanda Lucha this fall. That's what we're really going for.
Oh, I don't think that's going to be. I don't think you'll have a hard time with that at all.
So we've hit the wrestling part of this podcast. That's the cue to exit, Dave.
Dave is trying to make his triumphant return to the ring. I don't know about that.
If I do that, that's got to be in Richmond. If I do one last match.
I didn't say you were doing a match. I just say you were going, you're going to see if we can get you to come cut a promo in Milwaukee and get booed. I think
you can do that. I have no problem with coming and getting booed in Milwaukee.
Is my mic not on? Is my mic not on? We're at wrestling now.
All right. That's going to do it for the show, folks. Thanks to Mo and Seth for hanging out. We'll catch you guys. We'll be back in 2 weeks right here on the Athletic NBA Show.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.